The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Are you ready?
Hey, you think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, hour number two. Happy Friday. Hope you're having a great one. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on The Blitz Facebook page. Find The Blitz. Click like, put your comments on visitor posts. There's also Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow with a zero, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And first hour, a lot of free agent frenzy, a little bit of other stuff. Somehow we got on paying college athletes, which I don't know why. Chase says maybe 20 years ago you could argue NCAA athletes did not need to be paid, but with major sports making schools millions.
I think times have changed.
Yeah, you can no longer argue that the value of education is worth as much money as what the players bring to their school. And I would also just say that a value of education is the value of a scholarship to a football player in some cases is almost meaningless.
Yeah.
It's there.
Because
if you go to play football.
College football at Alabama, you're not. It's nice to have a degree.
Some guys, it's going
to
be great.
But you're not going to Alabama to play football because you wanted to be a finance major at Alabama. If you're going to Alabama, you have pro aspirations. You have NFL aspirations. It's nice to have a fallback for sure.
Most of these guys aren't going to have a fallback because they're not going to go to class.
But most of these guys have an opportunity to make, you know, $50 million. And you point at how many other non-athletes at Alabama are worth $50 million, you show me those guys and let me know if that's a fair trade. You know, and also how much money that football program brings to the school and how many other things around campus that the football money finances, because it's a lot.
Man, most of the people who throw the value of education argument at you are folks who had to pay for their own education, and frankly, it's jealousy is what it is. And because they weren't athletes and couldn't get their education paid for. But if you were an athlete, you probably wouldn't even be worried about what it is you got your degree for. And that's, like, nobody said life was fair. I mean, that's the reality. And, you know, it doesn't bother me. Let's grab a couple phone calls. Michael. What's up, Michael? Hello, Michael. Come on, Michael. We're waiting on you. And that happened. All right, Cole. What's up, Cole?
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports.
Yeah, I heard y'all talking at the end of the show yesterday about new shows to check out. Sorry if it's completely off topic. But I hadn't heard y'all talk about it yet, or I'm not sure if I have. If y'all have talked about or seen Animal Kingdom, and if not, y'all should check it out.
Yeah, a couple of people have told me that. I've not checked it out.
I haven't either, and a couple of people last night at the poker tournament told me, hey, man, you need to watch that Animal Kingdom. So I might check that out. There's a lot of people whose opinions I trust that have recommended it, and so I may check it out. But it's funny, the wife decided she quit watching Game of Thrones in season 4.
What?
Yeah, she's, you know, well, she's crazy. What do you want? So she decided she wanted to get caught back up because she's sick of hearing everybody talk about it and not knowing what's going on. So she's back rewatching the whole thing. And so I walked in last night, or I guess it was 2 days ago when she was watching it. I know it's been 6 years. I cannot believe how much some of these people have aged. The obvious ones are like Bran and Arya, who were real little kids when this thing started. But even Kit Harington,
yeah,
the way he looked that first year, it was almost like a totally different dude. And there's all these little things that go on that totally make sense now that at the time really didn't. But there's a ton of foreshadowing to what happens later. I'm kind of into watching them all again because there's these just little things that I totally missed the first time around that sort of foreshadow what happens here in seasons 5 and 6. So anyway, but yeah, Animal Kingdom's on my radar. That Mr. Robot's back in a couple weeks. That show I cannot wait for. And, you know. But other than that, I don't have too much going on. Preacher. I like that Preacher.
Yeah, I like that too. I finally started getting into it.
Yeah.
Although I watched episodes 1, 2, and 3. I have 5 on the DVR. I don't have 4 because that was during the switch, the crossover from AT&T to DirecTV.
Yeah, for some reason, 4 didn't record for me either.
And they don't have 4 on demand.
It's going Saturday night.
It'll be on Saturday night?
Yeah, because I've already got it set up to record. For some reason, I missed 4, too, probably because I record like 10 shows on Sunday nights.
Okay. So you're only 3 episodes in as well, then?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I love the vampire. That's my favorite character. Can't understand a word he says.
I have a problem with that. I don't understand a lot of these guys.
Well, in his case, you're not supposed to understand him. It's kind of funny, the whole dynamic there between him and the preacher. The preacher, I don't understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
As much as I make fun of that on those BBC shows where I can't understand him, I think for this character it makes perfect sense. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Bilal says, I admit I'm jealous of these scholarship students. I'm $30,000 in student loans, but I wouldn't trade my experience for anything. And I always say, it's, you know, that kind of thing is you're deciding to invest in yourself.
Yeah.
And that's fine. And I do think it should be more affordable, and I don't want to get back into pissing everybody off about why it shouldn't be free. I do think it should be more affordable. I think college textbooks, what they do with those is downright criminal, frankly. And the whole reason they do it, some of them, this drives me nuts. And I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that have had that. You had a professor in a class who wrote a book, and then you have to buy his book for the class. And then every year they do a new edition. So you can't go buy the used ones. Every 2 years, I guess, they do it. So you can buy the used ones for 1 year. And the prices on those things are ridiculous. And to me, that's criminal. And that's something that needs to be fixed. Because if you're going to go to school and you have to pay for textbooks, you shouldn't have to pay $120 for something when they change 5 words and call it 7th edition instead of 6th edition. And I'm totally with you guys on that. That one drives me nuts. That's why it's my goal. That's why it's my goal to someday have audio textbooks for everyone. Very affordable, $12. Much better than your $120. Let's grab a phone call. Kyle, you're on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Sports to you, man.
Hey, I was reading a deal on the Climbing Taos Hill blog talking about the Astros trying to acquire Jay Bruce, being that he's kind of a hometown boy and they know a lot about him from high school and the NL Central. What are your thoughts on that? I'll hang up and listen. Have a great weekend.
Well, Jay Bruce, from what I understand, has a no trade clause.
He said he would go to the Indians.
Okay.
I saw a story today that he would. I think he's got 4 teams that he'd agree to a trade to.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Astros were on a list if they're contending.
Yeah.
At the right time. He's a Beaumont kid. You know, right now, I want to say he's having the best season, maybe of his career.
No, I think right now he's having a career half year.
Yeah.
17 home runs, I believe.
17 home runs. He's hitting .279. That's 2 points lower than his career high. And his career high in home runs is 34. So we're at about the halfway point. So he's on pace for his best season ever. 59 RBI. So, you know, it'd be interesting. I don't know. I don't know how you – where do you play him, I guess, is another thing. Who are you trading for, or who are you trading away?
Yeah,
I'm not really sure what kind of the trade would be. I'm not sure, but he's a guy that right now it seems like this bat would help for sure.
Well, it's one of the things when we were talking about our wish list the other day for what I'd like to add, and as much as I think Ryan Braun is too much to ask for, this would be kind of the player I'm looking for. That kind of production. But again, what are you going to have to give up? According to
Bruce, can reject deals to the Yankees, Red Sox, A's, Rays, Marlins, Twins, Indians, and Diamondbacks. But apparently he said he would be willing now to go to Cleveland.
Right. He's apparently been linked to the Dodgers, Giants, White Sox, and Royals since the start of the season.
Okay.
29 years old. I'm not sure what his contract status is. I think he's
12 and a half million this year.
And then 13 next year.
13 million next year.
Yeah, with that, I believe that's an option, actually, which would be, frankly,
it's a team option.
Yeah.
Which is honestly a value in today's Major League Baseball sort of spectrum.
So, yeah.
He's not an all-star anymore, probably, but he's a pretty good player right now.
It'd be a good bat to have in the middle of your lineup.
Yeah.
But, again, what's your cost going to be? But that's an affordable contract. That's one that even I would think Jim Crane could handle. But Peter said, I wish I had the talent to avoid having a $90,000 bill for law school. There's any sports teams that are going to cover your law school. By then, if you're going to law school, you're probably not going to be a professional athlete. That's the price, man. I know it sucks. Those damn textbooks, that's what gets me. I honestly think if you could get those affordable, it would make a huge difference for a lot of people. But nobody cares what I think. Not when it comes to that. Quick break.
Just be a lawyer for one of these football players.
There you go.
It's a good way move to go. Maybe for OJ Mayo.
Yeah. He's going to need
to talk about him.
Yeah, we'll do that when we come back.
Unreal.
It is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, 713-780-ESPN. If you want to get in, we'll be happy to take some calls today.
I found the article on that Climbing Taos Hill that they were talking about.
Yeah.
And basically
that's an actual website?
Yeah.
Okay.
It says, where do the Astros need help? He says there are a couple glaring imperfections in the Astros roster right now. At the top of that list is the outfield, specifically center field. Speaking of Gomez and Mariznick. He said if the Astros were to trade one of these two guys for an upgrade at the same position, Gomez should be the one to go. Here's the thing you got to understand. First of all, there's still a big price tag attached to Gomez for a guy who's hitting 215 or whatever it is.
Yeah, he's been better over the last few weeks, but he's still.
If you're trading with a team who's a seller, they don't want Carlos Gomez.
Yeah, how are you going to get? Yeah, that just doesn't work. Again,
you've got to give up. And the whole point of this article is that they want to cling to Alex Bregman and under no circumstances trade Alex Bregman. It says they could benefit from an upgrade in the outfield. Jay Bruce, Carlos Gonzalez, Cole Calhoun, and Josh Reddick are all guys that could fill the void. The two they focus on are, they said the two best options are Cole Calhoun and Jay Bruce. Cole Calhoun, let's also consider this, especially if you're trying to not give up Alex Bregman. Cole Calhoun's 28 years old. He makes about $4 million per year until 2020. He's having the best season of his career. They're not looking to let that guy go.
Yeah.
If you're a team who needs to rebuild, those are the kind of guys you keep.
Especially at that number. And
if the Angels are looking to move a bat, they'll probably talk to you about Albert Pujols. Want to take him? You want to take that money? They're not trying to move guys like Cole Calhoun. But Jay Bruce is a guy that I could see the Reds making a move for him. They say a Bruce acquisition would likely result in a switch to center field for Springer. The problem is, it's what do you have to give up?
And right.
You gave up a lot of your mid-tier prospects last season. Your upper tier prospects are all basically all on the big club right now,
yeah,
with the exception of Bregman. And you don't want to give him up. I don't know. I don't know what you're parting with. You don't just get things for free, unless you're the Phillies and the Astros are giving it away.
Yeah, Kyle Tucker, maybe, you know, somebody like that.
Maybe. That's,
See,
I mean, I don't think that's getting you. I mean, remember. Sure, Kyle Tucker, that's a good name to throw out there. Let's say you offer the Reds Kyle Tucker for Jay Bruce.
And something else. I don't think it's getting it done with
But you got to remember, there's a lot of other teams in the league
that have Kyle Tuckers and
that are making offers that are better than Kyle Tucker. You know, you've got to make the best offer, too. And I don't know that Kyle Tucker is going to be enough to get a guy like, especially the way Jay Bruce is playing right now. Like, the Reds have to be thinking, we've got a guy we'd love to get rid of. He's playing great. This is the perfect storm for us. They're in a position to ask for something nice.
And I think they'll get something nice. Especially, to me, the Indians make a lot more sense because they have some prospects that they can move, and they need offense. As good as they've been, that's a guy that would help that team a lot. So I could see that happening.
I also feel like if you do trade Alex Bregman, and I'm not opposed to trading him, I'd prefer to get someone better than Jay Bruce.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well,
trade Alex Bregman in a Ryan Braun deal, okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
I know Ryan Braun's good. You trade Alex Bregman in a Carlos Gonzalez deal? Yeah. I know Carlos Gonzalez can hit. You know,
Let's say the White Sox want to make Chris Sale available.
Oh, hell yes.
I'd do that in a second. In a second.
But, you know, it's got to be. I'm not saying they should absolutely trade him. I'm saying for the right guy, though, I don't call him untouchable.
For the right piece, absolutely.
There's other pitchers out. Sonny Gray probably going to be available. Chris Archer might be available.
Boy, I'd love guys to have like either that. One of those guys.
Yeah, I'll trade.
Because those are guys that are under team control for a while, too.
I'll give you Bregman and a couple other guys.
Yeah.
You know, but if it's for Ken Giles, no. I think we've learned our lesson around here about giving up top prospects for Ken Giles.
I hope so. But
so
that may still work out, though. I'm not. So far, that has not been a good deal, but I'm not willing to write him off just yet.
And here's the other mistake I think the Astros made. I think bringing up A.J. Reed was a bad call. A.J. Reed as a minor leaguer and listen, who knows? He may still start hitting at the major league level, but there was a bit of an unknown to him. You know, even 20 at-bats in the major leagues, when you struggle like that, that's kind of a turnoff. A.J. Reed, had he not had any major league at-bats, maybe he's a bigger trade piece than he is now. If you're looking to keep a Bregman, maybe A.J. Reed was the type of prospect that you could have used in a deal.
I still think he is. I don't think that hurts him too much yet. If you know, frankly, if he goes back down and starts hitting again, I don't think a first time up for a guy like that, it's such a small sample size. I don't think it's going to affect his value too much. This is why you can't joke about things, AJ. 512 asks, John and Raheel taking your time slot. I heard AJ mention it the other day. Was he joking or was he serious?
Some caller mentioned that, or a texter. I don't know. But
yeah, guys, it was a joke. We're not going anywhere. No.
We're here for the foreseeable future, I promise you.
And we're here long term until one of us dies, which could be any time. And the way AJ does those water coasters, he could die. The way I drink, I could die. But other than that, yeah, nobody's taking our time slot. Sorry for those of you who hate us. 713-780-ESPN. That's probably more Astros talk than we've done in forever. But, hey, at least they're interesting again, and they're in the mix. But that particular article, it just kind of strikes me as some of the phone calls we used to get until we had to keyboard cat everybody for it, where I think the Rockets should trade Pat Beverly for LeBron James. You know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, these things aren't realistic.
Yeah.
And if you want Ryan Braun or you want a player like that, you got to consider giving up something real. And Alex Bregman, it's a nice – I prefer to use prospects as trade chips as opposed to hoping that they eventually turn into the player that you think they're going to be.
Right.
Because it's trading an unknown for a known, and
as long as you're getting the right guy,
there are exceptions.
Yeah,
the Royals last year won the World Series with a bunch of homegrown guys. But look back over the last 15, 20 years, that's a rarity. You know, most of the teams that win are the teams that sign the best players.
And Dylan points out that on the Philly trade, Appel had an ERA above 4 and is out for the season with elbow problems. That goes back to a bigger issue of them taking him over Chris Bryant.
Yeah.
That was a huge mistake. And I think you said that at the time.
Yep.
I had no problems with giving up Appel in that trade. I did not want to give up Velasquez.
You said that at the time.
Yeah. I said that was the one guy in that deal that, from watching him last year, live arm, and he was a couple years removed from Tommy John, so he was starting to come into his own. That's a guy that I think could be a really good third, fourth starter for a long time. I did not like to see him in that deal. But, you know, the thing is, you are going to make bad trades. It's going to happen. You're going to have things that don't work out. The Giles trade so far has not been great, but you've been fortunate in that Will Harris has been so good that it's kind of made up for it. The bullpen hasn't been a problem. Giles has been better, like most of the team. He's been better here over the last month. And, man, if he turns it around and suddenly that guy's pitching at the level that you were expecting, then that's going to be huge moving forward. But still going to be tough to catch the Rangers. But, hey, man, wild card last year.
Yeah.
You know, damn near beat the Royals. So and get the wild card and see what happens.
Yeah, specifically if you can get Dallas Keuchel right.
Yeah.
If you got to play a wild card game and Doug Fister's your starter, yeah, you probably can't feel great about
that. No, and
as good as he's been, and I don't want to crap on Doug Fister
because he's
been their best pitcher. But
yeah, you don't want that. But that's there's a long way to go, and they may actually get another arm. They may get a rental arm, which would be great.
Yeah.
But to me, a Keuchel turning it around, and I don't think he doesn't need to be unbeaten at home, Keuchel, like he was last year.
He's not going to be what he was last year.
He just needs to be consistent, and he's been getting slowly better. He's still walking too many guys, though. I think that's the biggest issue is his control, and then he's just grooving some pitches when he's getting behind in the count, and that's kind of hurt him. But, I mean, there is hope there that he can turn it around. And if he does, it'll be an interesting second half of the season. But I don't think that I would expect the Astros to take on a whole bunch of salary here, though.
I don't think so either.
I'd be very surprised if any of that was to happen.
I'd like to see it happen, but I
would too. I would too. But I think they're back into being buyers, though, at the trade deadline.
I would hope so.
And a month ago, I think we were debating whether they'd be buyers or sellers.
When you say not taking on salary, I mean, do you mean guys like
Ryan Braun?
But even like guys like Jay Bruce.
See, Jay Bruce, to me, that's not a punitive salary.
It's not, but it's still, I mean, for compared to the rest of the guys on this team, $13 million a year is up there.
But next year you would have Gomez off the books. So essentially you're paying $4 million more than what Gomez would get, or $3 million more.
Yeah.
So to me, you're not really taking on that much. You're taking on half a season this year. And next year when you're getting rid of, you'll be able to get rid of a guy who's making $10 million.
Yeah.
So to me, that's not that big of a deal.
He would still be the second highest paid player on this team behind Colby Rasmus.
Well, and Rasmus, that's another thing. Rasmus won't be making $15 million next year.
Yeah.
That was a 1-year tender deal. So you could take that on real easily and still have a lower payroll next year. Just take those two guys off.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't need Colby Rasmus or Gomez if you had Bruce. All right, guys, got to tell you about my good friends at Texas Mattress Makers. They're Houston proud, a true American story in the making, right at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation. And right now, for the 4th of July, they've got a great sale for you. But I got to tell you, these are good old-fashioned, hardworking people. They take pride in the quality of their work. They build these mattresses piece by piece with American-made steel, Louisiana wood, and Houston labor. They don't take any shortcuts. You're going to get a great, great quality mattress. You're going to save a bunch of money because they make them right there and sell them to you. And I'll tell you what, I have learned so much about what makes a great mattress just from going out there and seeing how they make these things. And the quality at Texas Mattress Makers is better than you're going to find anywhere. Right now, 4th of July sale. Up until the 4th, drop by 20% off all their top-of-the-line mattresses. That's how you celebrate America. You take 20% off factory prices. For instance, Queen Mattress Set, $2,900. Right now, you can get it for $2,320. And that's everything, man. That's off factory prices, not those retail prices that you'd be paying elsewhere. Go by and see them. You've all in the gang. Tell them you're a blitzer. They will take care of you. I all the time hear from people who went and said, man, you're right. That's, I got such a great deal. The people there are so awesome. Love Texas Mattress Makers. You will too. Visit them at TexasMattressMakers.com or 4619 Navigation at the corner of Lockwood and Navigation off I-10 East. Make sure you tell them I sent you.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And we are back on The Blitz. Man, this show's flying by. It's already RJ Bell time. Joining us now, as he does, founder of pregame.com. Follow him on Twitter at RJ in Vegas. Our good buddy RJ Bell, who we had a lengthy conversation with last week about that article. RJ, I saw you hired some scrub lawyer. What are you doing, man?
Well, first, never afraid of any questions. Well, maybe doing long division in my head, maybe. I'm all right at that, but not great. But, you know, great news since last week. You know, last week, Deadspin hit piece. You know, first off, I think what was really encouraging was that, you know, obviously all the pregame people, they know from their experience the way we are. So they didn't, you know, they kind of laughed. You know, the people in the media, you guys that I've built a relationship with, the response has been, you know, even from the start was really strong. But to me, it just really bothered me, the idea that anyone could be deceived by this, you know. And I'll just speak candidly, is I've been doing this for 10 plus years. You know, when you work really hard at something, the idea of having it torn down, it does get personal. So we reached out to Charles Harder, who is actually the attorney for Hulk Hogan in a case against Gawker.
What you gonna do?
Which owns Deadspin. And, you know, that case actually bankrupted Gawker. And Mr. Harder looked at the case and said, wow, you've got such a strong case here. I'm going to take it. So he's taking the case. We've sent a legal demand letter to Deadspin for a retraction, apology, the whole thing. And you would think, now that letter was 9 pages. I tweeted that out at RJ in Vegas. You would think that's it, right? One article, 9 pages. They couldn't have deceived much more than that. I wrote up 28 other deceptions, 13 pages or so. It was written up, put that out on Twitter. And, you know, the good news is after people reading that, really no reasonable person has been able to think otherwise. And, you know, it makes sense. Deadspin is looking for clicks, and, you know, sports betting's getting huge. So to me, it's a great sign about how big sports betting talk is getting. Unfortunately, this is the only way they know how to go about it, with a hit piece, but I think in general, a great sign for the industry.
RJ Bell, our guest, and let's get back talking a little gambling.
Hey, real quick, if you guys don't mind.
No, go ahead.
Because it was a very candid conversation last week. It was kind of funny, as someone said, tweeted Don Van Notte. I brought him up last week and said, oh, RJ says you're, you know, blah, blah, blah. And Don DM'd me and said, what are you saying about me? So I had to send him a link to you guys, to the podcast page, and say, nothing bad, Don, nothing bad. But, you know, it was a very candid conversation. I'm guessing you guys took the time to read through some of the stuff I sent out. I mean, what was your takeaway after reading that?
Pretty much what you said, that and honestly, I kind of thought it was a crap article from the beginning, and there really wasn't much meat on the bone anyway. But a lot of the things that, and I read the thing you sent out, and I've been through your letter and everything else, and it confirms what I already thought, which it was, you know, just a crap article that, and it has a lot of stuff in it that certainly, if it's not an outright lie, it's damn sure shading the truth quite a bit.
Let me ask you this, RJ. Like, you, I know you said that it's not really about money for you, but is there anything to get from these guys anyway? I mean, I know they're doing the bankruptcy thing, and then
that's not a problem at all, because they're actually being acquired by a company, and the deal closes August 3rd. So this is Gawker. So all of the blogs below Gawker,
right?
And the acquisition price is in the $90 million range. And the company who, again, since Mr. Harder is involved in the Hogan case, he has, you know, all the insight into this. And there was a certain date significantly in the past that before this date, the old Gawker owns all the legal liability. After the date, the new company does. And my article came after the date. So really, it's going to be the new company potentially on the hook. And that's what makes us very optimistic that we'll get what we're looking for, is the new company is reasonable. Obviously, Gawker was so unreasonable, they were bankrupted by what they published. I mean, think about that, with all the protections for journalists in this country. And I think rightfully so. A lot of people are worried and concerned that journalists get to, you know, tell the truth. They don't want that repressed. Either do I at all. But obviously, you can't lie about somebody. And Gawker went so far to be bankrupted by what they did. But the new company, from what I hear, wants nothing to do with that kind of stuff. So we think we'll get a good settlement. And that's the thing. We're just looking for the retraction and all that stuff. Because, and someone asked me, why not go for money? To me, if the choice is 2 years or 3 years, or the Hogan case was 4 years of fighting over money, or instantly getting what I really want, which is, you know, is the truth out there, then I'll take the instant truth. Now, if they don't give the instant truth, we're you know, the plan is to fight.
Well, but I got to ask you, even if they do the things you're asking, which is a retraction and a correction, it's kind of like putting bleep back in the goose.
It's once somebody cries rape, you know, Everybody thinks of you as a rapist. You know what I mean?
Think about it like this. And this is a subtle point that I've thought a lot about. There's two universes of people that read the article. Universe number one is people that had other prior interaction with pregame or me, either on the radio or, you know, personally like we do, or, you know, whatever. Those people follow me on Twitter. They go to pregame, whatever. They listen to the radio like this segment, and they've heard both sides now. And anyone that's really interested is going to dig deeper and see what I'm saying, which is a lot of BS. Okay. The other universe are the people that never heard of me before. And what are they going to remember in the long run is, oh, RJ's a big guy in Vegas, and, oh, Deadspin thought he was doing some stuff that wasn't great. To me, amongst that other universe, you know, it's probably a net neutral, right? It's just the awareness. So to me, I think that if I hadn't fought back, a lot of people that interact with pregame with me might have started wondering. The fact that we've not only reacted, but so aggressively and with such vigor because it was just such BS, I think that net-net, this should turn out, you know, as at worst a net neutral, if not a positive.
Let me pause real quick for a little bit of local breaking news, or breaking news of local interest. Dwight Howard, 3 years, $7.5 million in Atlanta. All right, now back to RJ.
Yeah.
Well, Atlanta seems like San Antonio, except it's the less intelligent brother running that business.
Yeah, everyone says that, and then I'm like, well, the whole thing that makes San Antonio good is they don't make dumb decisions, and then Atlanta keeps making dumb decisions.
Could you imagine San Antonio signing Dwight Howard? Forget who they
have
on the roster. Yeah, I don't get it.
RJ Bell, our guest, pregame.com. I just kind of getting back to what we're talking about, though, and this is something that from my old newspaper days I had a lot of experience with. You have to make sure that if they do this, that they promote it the same way they did the article in the first place, that it has the same reach. Otherwise, if they just put it on there and say, hey, we apologize, we were wrong, it's not going to get the hits that the first article did. It's simply
agreed.
Not. So it's not going to be a net neutral for you, I don't think. And you have to, they have to promote it and give it the same display that they did the other story. That'd just be my humble suggestion.
I think what changes a little bit, though, in the internet age, especially, you know, the recent years, is with, you know, the SEO, is, you know, search engines and such. And obviously there's even the articles off the homepage get some attention as the months and years go by. But once again, you know, and then we can, you know, move on for sure to whatever topics we got a list of them and not much time. But what I'll say, the very last point would be the amount of people who said, when I read that, the fact that there was so little facts and anonymous quotes and innuendo, the real takeaway from, I mean, like a shocking percentage of people was, wow, they tried to really be negative here, but they weren't even able to pull it off. And I really believe, honestly, now we talked about this last week, they spent 1 year investigating. Now, I want the listeners to think a second. Imagine if you heard that Deadspin was spending 1 year investigating you. I think a lot of people would be pretty frightened by that, right? The fact that at the end of that, the BS was all they had to put out there. I think for anyone interested in me, interested in doing business with pregame, they're thinking, man, the due diligence has already been done. So for me, it's been, you know, I was a little worried, I can't lie. But I mean, now that we're a week past this, I have no concerns.
I wish I was popular enough for somebody to spend a year investigating me.
One day. Now I'm happy they didn't ask or get a hold of any of my ex-girlfriends. Then it could have been some trouble.
Yeah, they go to my ex-wives. It's going to be a big issue. Hey, let me.
I wish they could have rustled up a sex tape of you like they did the Hulkster.
Oh, you don't want that.
I want it bad.
Oh, man. Yeah, I now I've got this image of RJ putting odds on it while during the tape. But hey, real quick, I want to ask you about as we get a chance to talk about Vegas getting the NHL team, which I'm very excited about for a lot of reasons, but they already have odds on the 2017 Stanley Cup at 100-1. Are you kidding me?
Yeah, you got to get – listen, I give Vegas credit. It was the Westgate put this out here in town because this is the kind of stuff the aggressive online books do. Is it's not always what's going to get the most betting action, which obviously that generates money, but what's going to get the most social media interest. And to me, things like those odds already being out, we're mentioning it on this show. You guys are bringing it up. So obviously, I don't think 100-1 is a good bet, though. NHL, obviously, I think of any league with a new team, I think that the NHL has the best chance of that team becoming a playoff team the quickest. But still, I think 100-1 is a little short right now.
Yeah, but hey, I wanted to ask you about this real quick. I don't know if you saw this because I know it's a big deal. We've talked about this this contest at the Westgate many times that they're actually now going to not all the money is going to go back to the players. And apparently that's become a big controversy there. But to me, it kind of seems like, you know, at some point you get that many players. Don't you have to make a little money off the thing?
I see. I disagree. But, you know, there's a book out there. You know, there's a lot of books for business people about the idea of free versus pay. And, you know, this is something we do very aggressively at pregame is 95% of what we do is free. The theory is give away as much as possible. Let everyone see how good it is and also hope it gets shared, because when something's free, you can share it. When it's not free, you can't, right? So imagine you guys with your podcast, let's say you made it premium. Even if you made it like, you know, $3 a month or something really cheap, you guys are thinking, oh, maybe 10,000 people, maybe the math works, but all those people can't share it now. So to me, free is good unless, you know, in all cases except the most extreme. And I think the 6% or whatever they're holding here that they're going to make on it, it's such a pittance. I mean, think about it. So let's say I think it was $1 million or so, the prize pool last year, right? Yeah. So that would be 60K. So, you know, one segment on SportsCenter or, you know, maybe not one, but, you know, a couple national TV segments are worth 60K. So if it decreases the trajectory, because the signups have gone up, up, and up, we've got a guy, Steve Fezzik, the only guy ever to win this contest twice. He won it back-to-back, only guy twice. But when he won it, 1 year was like 350 people, 1 year was like 370. I think it was 2009, 2010. They were up significantly above that last year. If the growth slows down because of this 6% or whatever it is, I think it's in that range, I think it's a big mistake.
Yeah, 1,400 people in 2014.
Okay, yeah. So imagine, I mean, could this be 10,000? I mean, look at the way the World Series of Poker grew, right? Is even the year that Moneymaker won it was 600, right? And then it was 8,000. You know, a couple years later, you can grow 10x, but this, I think, is going to put a throttle on the growth. And again, Jay Cornegay, Westgate, those guys are great to us. They have a Westgate week or a super contest weekend. There's always a couple pregame guys that talk at the, you know, they have like a presentation of experts. So I support them. I just think in general, the short-term money isn't worth. If they grew that contest and it became gigantic, it could be a contest worth $50 million bucks. Like the brand could be worth millions, and you're really worried about the 60K?
Yeah, I guess I'm just so used to paying, you know, poker tournaments where I know there's going to be between 4 and 11% takeout anyway. That
well, we, remember, I'm not saying they're wrong, that it's not righteous. I'm saying I don't think it's good business. I think it's a fair amount to pay for the contest. I don't think it's good business.
All right, that's RJ Bell, pregame.com. As always, no shortage of stuff to talk about with RJ. Buddy, appreciate the time, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You know, in a month, we're going to be talking NFL.
I know. We're not that far away.
I can't wait.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
And hopefully RJ's sex tape will come out.
Yeah.
Again, do not want that.
I don't know, man.
Depends on who the other person is.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
True enough. True.
Like Scarlett Johansson?
Oh.
That'd be nice.
Yeah.
Ghost World.
But Hulk Hogan's was a radio guy's wife, so.
Yeah, but yeah, yeah. You know.
I just hope it's not mine.
Hey, real quick. Anyone interested in that Hogan thing, look on YouTube. Howard Stern and Bubba the Love Sponge. They have hours of Howard grilling Bubba about that tape. If you're interested, good stuff.
And by the way, Bubba the Love Sponge is so disgustingly fat, and his wife was so hot. It's vile to think of them having sex.
Oh, well. Now that you put that in my head, we'll have to take a break. Get some Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Still Snoop Dogg and D.I. Guess who's back?
From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. To catch up on our shows, stay up to date on station events, news stories, contests, and more, log on to ESPN975.com. So a couple of news things happened there while we were talking to RJ. We mentioned that Dwight Howard, 3 years, 70.5 with the Hawks. Which, if I'm the Hawks, 3 years is probably a good term for that. I wouldn't want him for any longer than that at his age.
It's averages out just a little more than the year he opted out of.
Okay, good for him.
But he's in Atlanta.
And frankly, if Timothy Mozgov is getting what he's getting, Dwight should get that. But Mike Conley.
Yeah.
This one is huge.
Mike Conley just signed the richest contract in the history of the NBA. Mike Conley, 5 years, $153 million.
Is that bigger than what Anthony Davis signed for?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep. The richest contract in the history of the NBA. It's crazy, man. I think officially now, basketball has gotten more ridiculous with contracts than baseball.
Because
think about this.
But
that, remember
weren't
that,
there guys getting $300 million contracts in baseball?
Like the A-Rod contract.
Yeah.
The 10 years, $252 million, the long contract that everyone was like saying was ridiculous. How could they ever do that?
Right.
This averages out to more than that. And consider what A-Rod was when he got that $25 million a year and what Mike Conley is. Like, how great A-Rod was and what he was relative to the rest of the league and what Mike Conley is relative to the great players in the league. Mike Conley's a good player. And like I said, easily the best point guard available this season. But, I mean, is he a top 10 player in the league? No. But suddenly the richest contract, I don't even know if he's a top 20 player in the league.
But you know what? If you look at it, it's only a five-year deal.
And
yeah. I think that's just what the market is, and you're going to keep seeing more of these. But, we'll see. And if the Rockets want an Al Horford or somebody like that, they're going to have to pay him that kind of money.
Yep.
So that's just the market right now. It's Deli getting $10 million per year, but Conley getting 30. You can kind of see the scale there, right? Yeah. All right, we got to do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Apparently, a fashion model in New York kind of went weird
Crit, not me, by the way.
Crit McLean, a guy named Crit. That's, I wonder what kind of name Crit is. I don't think I've ever seen that as a first name before. Anyhow, apparently he stripped down naked, screamed for Donald Trump, took a 15-foot plunge to the ground where he basically for 90 minutes totally freaked out while he was watched by stunned police officers, tourists, and internet viewers via a live stream.
Wow.
The Manhattan resident, who usually is an Armani or Calvin Klein guy, was completely naked when he scaled the TKTS booth at West 47th Street. "I see a lot of crazy guys in Times Square, but nothing like this," said ticket agent Alpha Blade. That cannot be a real name. That is a badass name. Alpha Blade said he started taking his clothes off at 45th Street. Anytime a woman passed by, he'd throw his clothes at him. He took off his shoes, shirt, pants, everything. It finally ended when he stopped taunting cops and jumped from the top of the booth, missing two emergency airbags inflated on the street below, suffered a broken arm, and was taken to an ambulance to Bellevue Hospital. Apparently, he was bugged out and about an hour before told the doorman to go bleep himself. Apparently, he just snapped and kept screaming, "Donald Trump, where are you?"
All right.
So the police were trying to save him, but he kept spitting on them, kept hitting them, giving them the finger. The guy's got muscles.
All right.
He was shouting, "My mom, my mom." This just sounds like a dude who got wasted and who knows what he got on. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The Gem of the Day. It's the Gem of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gem of the Day.
Got a, oh, well, never mind. I was going to say, I've got a gem also, but guess I won't share it.
We can do it when we come back, and we still have to get to OJ Mayo. We
haven't. It's about poo.
Of course it is. Your fascination with poo is well documented.
This is the worst. This is one of the worst stories ever. This is a top five worst story.
All right, so that's a fair warning to those of you who don't want to be.
If you don't want to hear a vile story about poo,
then
take the next segment off.
Yeah, wait and come back at 6:15. All right, quick break. Get some blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.